Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys on a Thursday. Oh, no, it's a Wednesday. Is it a Wednesday?
You got to keep up, man. It's Wednesday.
I can't keep up. But the days all run together when you have a kid that wakes up so early. You know, it's just like everything starts. You don't get much sleep time as it is, and everything just starts to merge into one day. I just consider all these days Mondays.
Is that like the same thing?
What is that?
It's like, I just got a cat. Is that like the same thing? It's
first
like
of
having
all,
a kid.
Why did you get a cat?
Because cats are awesome.
Oh, my gosh. This could be the issue that divides us. I think I'm allergic to cats. I'm not positive because I've never actually owned one or didn't have one. But I think from my limited experiences that I'm allergic to cats, I would say.
I'm allergic to your negativity to cats, so breaking down into hives right now.
There was strike number one for me against cats, and then just the fact that they're slinky, awful creatures. So what'd you name your cat?
It's technically not my cat. It's my sister's. She named it Oliver, so it's a fitting cat name.
Yeah.
Follow me on Snap. You can see the Snap story of all my cat stuff. At Mount Treverus, what's up? There's the plug.
I don't think I even follow you on Snapchat.
I don't think so either.
Now I'm glad. I follow Krabs. I already see all Kyle Krabs. He puts up this cat.
Yeah, Kyle Krabs is cat fam.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, my gosh. Y'all do bad for the draft world with that. But we got Jack Sitchie. I've been saying his last name wrong, of course, because if there's one thing you can count on me for, it's mispronunciations. It's pretty much my bread and butter. But Jack Sitchie and Micah Kizer from Virginia we're talking about today. Start with Sitchie, right? Because he's fun. He's kind of exciting. He plays with – I mean, is he not the most Wisconsin linebacker, like, ever? Like, everything
about
him. I mean –
Him and Watt and Beagle on the same team was just like
– Yeah.
It's too perfect.
Especially Beagle and him. Like, and Beagle was a good athlete for sure. And Sitchie's a good athlete, to be honest, too. Like, I really think all three of those guys, you know, if there's a trend that they buck, it's that, you know, Wisconsin hasn't always had. They've always had real technically sound, well-coached guys, gritty and all that kind of stuff, all the cliches.
High motor.
High
Big
motor. Physical.
Every coach's dream. Always in his playbook.
Always in the playbook. They're
Sneaky
all sons
athletic.
Of coaches.
Yeah, just every stereotype you get.
Right. And so that's what it seems like with all these guys. But I do think they're all really good athletes. But Sitchie, yeah, he just plays. He plays hard. He plays violent. There was a play where there was like a late he got into his pass drop, and there was like a late release. Like, I think it was either a draw or like a late release middle screen or something like that. And he came downhill and had like there were three blockers in between him and the ball carrier. I think this was against Ohio State, and he just chose to like pick one of the blockers and just shelved them. Like, took his feet right out from under him and tried to dive underneath him to get to the ball carrier. It was like no shot at making the tackle. I was just like, this guy is insane, man. Like, he just will take people out. So he's crazy. He needs to throttle down at times though. He'll overrun his gap. Sometimes he'll overrun some pursuit. And he's surprisingly a pretty mediocre tackler, which some people will say, oh, tackling, you know, that can be fixed, like, but he does everything else right. Maybe, and I'm not saying it can't be for Sitchie, but the thing with him, I think, is that he's always trying to nab ankles, which, like, is kind of weird when you consider the fact that he's so violent and aggressive, and he'll, like, run into a guard and, like, you know, punch him right in the chest. You know, he's always trying to set the tone physically, but as a tackler, sometimes I felt like he was nabbing at ankles, and a lot of the time he was coming up empty, but definitely more often than he should have, I thought.
Yeah, he plays 100%, no question about it. Like, dude's full throttle the whole time. But you're right, not as good a tackler as you would think, and he plays small for a linebacker. Hmm. He does not – I would say he is very good at sifting through traffic, knowing where the holes are going to be, the gaps are going to be, getting through them with offensive linemen and, you know, wide receivers, whoever's blocking him. He is very good at sifting through traffic and getting himself into the backfield. He's great at that. But anytime he has to take on a blocker, whether it's an oversized offensive lineman or even like a wide receiver, whatever it is, he doesn't get off it. It doesn't look like he has the strength. It looks like he plays in that sense like a small linebacker, like almost just like an athlete playing linebacker. Because, like, I mean, and I think that bleeds over into the tackling thing you brought up. He's going for ankles all the time, and he won't. It's like he's not going to lay he's not going to lay the hammer on you, because I don't think he can. Hmm. And so I think that he has to go for the ankles and trip these guys up, because he doesn't think, or maybe he knows
there's not a lot of hitting power.
He can't. Yeah, if he runs. And he's running at guys at full speed, too. It's not like he's just not generating enough momentum. A lot of times right. when he could tackle somebody, he's going at full speed. So if he doesn't think that he can stop somebody or run full speed, that means that when he hits somebody, it's like he's the one running into the brick wall, and he might slow him down. Because that's the thing, too. I don't see a lack of effort for running off line. Knock him down, get the best of him, but he'll still do it. So he's a willing linebacker and he's a huge effort player, but he just plays really small, I think, for the position. And you see the positives and negatives. The positives are he's a lot more agile than these bigger dudes who are in the trenches, so he can get around and get in the backfield and, you know, disrupt where the play is going at times, and he can play in coverage. But on the other hand, he can't really take on blocks, can't get off blocks, and he can't lay a big hit when he needs to against a ball carrier who's got momentum.
Yeah, I like his game a lot. I like his range. I like his athleticism. But I think you're right that he could benefit from getting stronger. He's listed 6'1". I thought he looked taller than that. Maybe it's because he's pretty lanky. He was 233 pounds. I think he can afford to pack on some more muscle, and maybe he has this offseason. His season actually ended early last year because he tore his pectoral muscle. So that may have something to do with it as well. In terms of watching him coming back, though, back-to-back 60-tackle seasons for him, eight tackles for loss in 2015, seven in 2016. He had that five sacks in 2015. I don't know if you remember. It was when he only started like five games that year. And the 12 that he played in, but I remember that season for him. It was the first time he was on my radar because I was watching them play. I think it was USC, actually. I can't remember but he had three sacks on three plays in a row as a blitzer, I think.
I heard somebody call him Three Sack Jack because he had three consecutive sacks to end a drive. And
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
It was the exact same sack, too.
Yeah.
He just ran up the middle and nobody could block him because he knew the snap count. It's like they couldn't figure it out.
Doesn't that go back to our discussion yesterday, like the ways of evaluating production in splash plays? You know, were the splash plays earned? Were they one-on-one victories? Or were they gassed by the opposing team? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and not to take away from Gigi, I think he did show some good things on those plays, but that's just an example. Like he got that reputation in Wisconsin after those three plays, to be honest, had a lot to do with it, I think. And then, I mean, he's obviously gotten better from that point too, but I think that was that in their bowl game? Pretty sure that was in their bowl game, because I don't know why else they would have been playing USC.
Yeah, Wisconsin playing USC, it's got to be a bowl game.
Yeah, it was their bowl game.
I know it was against Kessler, so.
Yeah, so it had that big, you know, feel to it, you know what I mean? Similar to what we were talking about with Ryan Anderson in some ways yesterday. So, but yes, he did. I thought he improved a lot in his processing this past season. I think one of the frustrating things I noticed, Wisconsin's interior defensive line really wasn't that great. Like, they had really good edge play against the run, and their inside linebackers are pretty good. Even now, they're like three or four deep at inside linebacker, and, you know, the Wisconsin fans are always talking up that group, and I think rightfully so, at least on the college level. But I thought their interior D-line got blown up a lot of the time, and number 65, I don't even know who he was. Maybe he graduated, but he was in Sitchie's lap like the whole Ohio State game, and he had to just continually like try and work around his own guy to see his gap, to see, you know, it was a rough situation for him to be in. So if that group's improved this year, I think you could see Sitchie do some even nicer things when he's kept clean. He gets off blocks better than I think Kaiser does, who we'll talk about here in a minute. But really where I thought he excelled was his flow sideline to sideline, kind of, you know, getting out to the perimeter, making stops in space and things like that. I mean, he's clearly a very solid athlete, at least for the linebacker position. I think he showed some explosiveness. I think his movement skills all around are pretty fluid. If he just gets a little more patient, a little more wound down, like, he just seems like he's too wired sometimes. Vince Beagle had the same issue. Thought he was just a little bit too wired up at times and overran some things, missed some tackles, missed some finishes for sacks. I think Cicci, if he can just tone it down a little bit, has the ability, I think, to be even a better player than he is now. And I still think he looks like a top 100 type player. How high he goes in that list, we'll see how much he improves this upcoming season. But I think he gives you a little bit. I mean, he's slippery. He can slip through those gaps. He can fire those gaps from an off-ball position, I think, if you need him to. You know, he's pretty physical. You know, like we said, his temperament, his commitment, his leadership, intangibles in the locker room, those are all heralded at Wisconsin. He's involved in a number of different outreach programs and things like that. And so teams and coaches are, you know, going to love that aspect of what he brings to the table. He's going to check all the boxes for them. So he may be higher on teams' boards due to a lot of that other stuff. And I think raw skill set wise, he's pretty favorable. So I think there's a decent upside with Cicci that I think he still hasn't realized, but he's on his way to realizing that. Last year was his first year as a full-time starter, although he played a good bit the year before, as we mentioned. I think he finished fifth on the team in tackles in 2015. So he's seen a decent amount of playing time now, but I think playing a full-time role once again. Remember, he only started 7 games last year before the injury, and he had 60 tackles in those 7 games. So he was on his way statistically to really dwarfing what he did in 2015, and then he got hurt. So I'm excited to see a full season of him with a little more development under his belt, because you know this is a guy that, by all everything I read and I was just reading about him in the offseason, he's fully committed himself to the program, to learning everything that he needs to. And so we could be looking for a really nice year from Cicci, I think, and a guy that we could be talking about potentially even in the top 50 range based on his skill set. Right now, if the draft were today, I don't think I'd take him there, but I could see us having that conversation down the road, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as high on him as you are, and not because I don't see the same things. He's definitely a fun player, and he's got a lot of upside because of the range and the speed that he has. I just I'm probably a lot lower on him right now than you are, because if my linebackers are getting bullied in the NFL, like, if I think you're getting bullied in college taking on blocks, you got no. I mean, you're just gonna get eaten alive in the NFL. So that's something where, I guess, you like the groundwork, you like the flashes, because a lot of that stuff is hard to teach people in general for a linebacker, because it definitely makes you more rangy. It gives you the whole see ball, get ball thing, mm-hmm. when you have that kind of athleticism. Right. But, man, I don't know. He's got to put on weight. He's got to put on strength. He's got to put on something, man. I can't see him get bullied by blocks like he did last year, because if not, then I don't know what kind of player I'm looking at, because I don't know how long I can have him on the field to stop the run. So it only gets bigger and stronger in the NFL. So I got to see. I definitely got to see more from him.
Yeah, the instincts have to either develop, or it's instincts developing is probably a little bit counterproductive. I mean, that doesn't really, you know, instincts should be natural, you would think, in a way.
But instincts are fine. I just don't know if he has the size. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he's got the natural strength. We'll see. We'll see. Because, yeah, you're right. He rehabbed last year, fully committed. I'm sure he's a weight room freak, and I'm sure he knows what he's got to get better at. So.
Right.
But this is a guy who definitely has something to prove that I think a lot of NFL teams got to see, or he might get passed over because they might just think he's a small linebacker.
It honestly is kind of similar. I know I keep comparing him to Beagle and TJ Watt, but it is kind of similar in some ways to those guys in that you loved the intangibles with them. You loved the work ethic with Watt. You loved the bloodlines. You loved the commitment to the game. You love the physicality that they play with. You love the athleticism, the basic skill set, the basic kind of, I don't know, profile that you want maybe in guys that you're going to take higher. You don't want to take poor athletes out because they don't have a great ceiling, I think, even if they develop.
Right.
So you want to take risks on these kind of guys. But at the same time, I hear you, because Watt needed to get stronger. You know, Beagle in some ways needed to get, you know, they needed some further development. I thought, technically, those guys were doing all right against the run, but as pass rushers, technically, they needed a lot of work. They needed a plan of attack. They needed to be able to think on their feet. And it's kind of similar with Cicci right now. It's that he needs to develop those areas of his game. I could see an NFL team being really excited about what he offers, because I think he'll do well at the combine. He'll do great in interviews. I could think he'll show enough on tape to get them really excited. But I think there are those important elements of his game. I think even the mental processing can come along. Being able to take on blocks with the proper shoulder, establish leverage in your gap, not get washed out. Pursuit from the backside. I thought when runs were away from him, he was kind of very slow and hesitant to kind of creep over and fill that cutback lane at times, which allowed him to get sealed off. So even if he was in position at that point, he was sealed off because he didn't put himself in a position to really leverage that gap. So it's little things like that that I think are the difference between getting sealed and blocked out of a play and making the stop when the running back cuts back because you've shut down the front side. So
makes me think of Quan Alexander a lot, honestly, because Alexander, I'm covering one of the Bucks. When he was drafted at LSU, he was thought to be just this, more athletic kind of speed linebacker. And through his couple years in the NFL here, he has really gotten a lot stronger. He takes on blocks really well, and now he's a great run defender. I mean, he led the league in the NFL with solo tackles, I think,
right,
last year. Not combined tackles, but I mean, this is the example. I think that's kind of the ceiling of where him and then Baker as well, who we talked about yesterday. I think Cicci and Baker are kind of in the same camp where you look at these guys who are – they play smaller, but because they play smaller, they also play more athletic. So you like the upside there, but like Alexander would have got washed in the NFL had he not gotten functionally stronger, right, had he not been able to take on blocks better, defend the run better, all of that. That's what both of these guys have to do, and Alexander's the example of you can't. But it's got to happen, or they're just going to get lost.
Right. No, I completely hear you, and I do agree. There's a fine line between we love to go to and gravitate toward those athletes, which I think is great, but especially in today's NFL with this more spread personnel and a lot more receive. We're putting three or four wide all the time. 11 personnel is like a base package now. So those are what you're trying to contest defensively. So it pays to have guys like that, but eventually. Teams, and we've already seen it, Buffalo, Tennessee, we've already seen teams start to gravitate back towards running the football, going with heavy personnel packages. The Steelers did it a ton last year at certain points. They would go to it, and they were a team that also had a downfield passing attack, obviously. So there's a lot of that now where offenses are starting to counter what defenses are doing, I think. And because of that, we're going to see these hybrid type of players. And Cicci's not a hybrid, not a true hybrid, but some of those other type of players that we're talking about, like Baker, they're going to be caught in between. There's going to be those splash plays, like we said, but then there's going to be a number of times where you wish you had somebody bigger, stronger, more functionally capable of playing in the box and playing in traffic on the field. So you're giving something up with a lot of these guys is basically what it boils down to. Let's talk about Kizer, man. This is more your traditional inside linebacker, right? 6'1", 240. Looks the part, probably, in terms of a physical mold of your stereotypical guy. He reminded me a little bit of Raekwon McMillan, and that I think they're good athletes. I think they're functional athletes. I don't think they're great athletes. I don't think that they have big wingspans or big tackle radiuses, and I think they're at their best, and both of them are pretty good at this. They're at their best when they're able to key and diagnose quickly and beat blockers to a spot, even though they're not super explosive. I think they have that ability mentally. McMillan was ahead of Kizer, I believe, in that regard. But Kaiser's at his best when he's able to get to a spot before a blocker gets to him. Even though he looks the part at 6'1", 240, I did not think he did a good job of getting off blocks. So he's got to be really instinctive. They gave him insane production at Virginia. I only watched two games, so I can't criticize too much. But according to his stats, it says he has 117 tackles in 2015 and 133 in 2016. So they have him doing work on the tackle front, and those both came over 12-game seasons. So they have him doing absolute work on the tackle front. I'm not sure that I saw that level of contribution to the defensive efforts, but again, I think this is a good player. This is a solid college football player who I think in the NFL will have a decent amount of matchups that he'll lose both in the trenches and in coverage.
Man, well, I'm just giving nothing to talk about. I'm just kidding. I'm with you there with him. He's definitely a guy who looks the part. Certainly production wise, when you look at his stats, things that he's done over the last 2 years, set over 100 tackles both year, has over 10 tackles for loss both years. I think he had 6.5 and 7.5 sacks. So this is a guy who has plenty of even production. It's what you would want from a linebacker in college. So he certainly checks the box there. You said size-wise, measurement-wise, definitely checking the boxes there. I'm not worried about him like I'm worried about some of these other maybe small linebackers. I don't think he's as athletic or as rangy as, say, his stats would lead you to believe. But I don't know. He is a really solid product, though. I'm not sure from what you saw, and I mean, there's not a lot of tape of him out there just because you and I weren't able to watch a ton of full games on him. But like, is there something about his game? Because we talked about, you know, he's a good athlete. He's got good production, but it's not like it's great. It's not like it's elite. Not like the ceiling's high. Are there things that you were looking for him to work on going into his last year? Is it just par for the course for him? You know, another great year of production, and this is a guy who we're gonna hear on probably day two of the draft or day maybe early day three. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Depending on what we think of or what happens with this combine, is this gonna be a guy who, you know, Trey Wingo or Mayock are going, you know, 3 years of great production from this guy. Is that gonna what they're gonna boast the most, or they're gonna, you know, like what's he got to get better at? You know, is there a way that he can sneak into a higher rep or a higher round range?
Maybe it's a mental processing thing. Maybe it's even quicker mental processing. I don't think he's bad in this regard at all, but because he isn't a super explosive athlete. So here's how I look at it. You know, if he is half a second late to diagnose something compared to someone who's a better athlete, you know, that other guy has a better chance of getting to a spot. You know what I mean? Because of his athletic tools. Kizer, I just think kind of, again, it is he reminds me, honestly, a lot of McMillan, except not as strong in the areas that McMillan's strong in that McMillan, I thought his top redeeming quality, his best quality, was that he was able to key and diagnose very quickly, get to his spot, recognize blocking schemes, whether it was from film study or just from reading his keys, and attack certain areas of the field. He was always in his right gap. He leveraged his gap the right way. Very technically and mentally sound process. With Kizer, you get a lot of that mental processing, I think, not quite at the same speed as McMillan, but technically, when he takes on blocks, he's taking on square all the time. He's not leveraging a gap. He's honestly just running into the block because he knows he's supposed to fill that area, but there needs to be more urgency. Like, he's getting sealed off way too easily. Like, he's getting met and just occupied for the entirety of the play too easily. So he's got to be able to get off blocks. So whether that's becoming more efficient with your hands or more efficient at getting to spots and not giving them a square target to hit. It's for a lineman climbing to the second level, when you're coming up and offering a square target for them, you're making their life easy. You know, when you're offering your legs easily, like coming square at them, that's an easy cut block. When you're moving laterally, a lot harder for them to gauge that space on that cut block, a lot harder for them to get around and seal, get their hips around and seal you off from a rush lane. So he's got to be able to beat them to spots, so he's offering a shoulder and keeping the right shoulder on the play side. He's keeping it clean, and he's able to kind of just sit and leverage in that gap and get off blocks a little bit easier. I mean, sometimes we think of getting off blocks, the only way you do it is if you grab the guy and throw him. That's not true. There's a lot of other ways to work off of contact and make sure you get free by the time the runner gets to you, or even before the runner gets to you. So I think those are things that he probably, at least from the outside perspective, I think that he could get better at. However, not having seen him in 2015, really, at this point, or 2014, when, you know, he's first there, I don't know what, you know, if maybe he's reached his ceiling in that regards. I think this season will kind of tell us that. If we've got another season of tape showing a lot of the same concerns, I think we'll come back to a lot of the same spots with Kizer, you know. So, good football player in some ways, yes. I think that he does typically know what the opposing team is doing. Gives good pursuit. Like I said, he's a decent athlete. He's a solid athlete. But you got to finish more often, I think, as a tackler, and you got to be able to get off blocks more easily. I think that's going to be huge for him, or beat the blockers to spots. So that, I think, those are his big trouble spots that he can do something about. I don't think he can do anything. I don't think he's going to suddenly become Jerome Baker as an athlete or Rashawn Evans as an athlete. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think he can improve in those other ways. To me, Raekwon McMillan was a max. Like, he was who he's going to be as a prospect, you know, for the most part, obviously. I mean, there's always little ways that guys will improve, but I thought he was close to being a finished product. I don't see Kizer as quite as much of a polished prospect, but in terms of an athletic and physical skill set, I don't think you're going to see much more than what you see right now in college, which is solid, but not great, I think.
Makes sense. No, I'm with you. That's a good way to put it.
So that's where I'm at on Kizer. I mean, I think all these guys, somebody messaged me the other day, or messaged us, I think, on Twitter and tweeted at us and said, man, it doesn't sound like this linebacker class is anything to get excited about based on what you guys are saying. I mean, keep this in mind as we talk about these prospects. And I'm not disagreeing with what that person said at all. But keep this in mind when we talk about these prospects. The last year that they show on tape is so important. Like, we're talking about them, A, for summer content, B, to give you guys an idea where they're at this point, C, because we want to get, you know, acclimated to a lot of these guys, learn about them, see what their strengths and weaknesses are going into the final year. But in no way, when we talk about ranges for them as draft or where we value them in a vacuum or anything like that, no way is that final for us. I mean, I think we both do a really good job trying to keep an open mind. So if Kizer goes off this year and shows major improvement in all the areas we talked about, or Jerome Baker in all the areas we talked about, you know, if that happens for them, then I'll be more than willing to say, you know, this guy changed a lot. I did it with Taylor Decker. I did it to a degree with Derek Barnett because I thought he changed his game. Taylor Decker, I was like, this guy might be a mid-round pick at best. And then I thought his last year at Ohio State made huge strides as a technician and his footwork. Just thought he got so much better. And then he was in my top 10 players. So that college development, for most guys, it's going to occur in college by their final year in college. Some guys that come out early, some guys that didn't get to play or got misused in college, or those are the guys you have to evaluate. Maybe they recognize their ceiling in the NFL, or maybe those big developmental leaps come in the NFL, and you have to gauge where to take those risks. For a lot of guys, though, for the vast majority of guys, that most of their development is going to happen in college. And so it's so important to have the full sample size for those guys before you definitively say, this is what they are as a player, this is what they are as a prospect, you know, completely. Anyway, so keep that in mind. I don't think we're necessarily down in the linebacker class, but also keep in mind the fact that, you know, not a lot of linebackers go in the first round in recent years, you know, of these off-ball guys.
Right,
you know?
So, right.
You know, rushing the passer, shut down corners, you know, ball hawking center field safeties, you know, interior, you know, three techniques that can penetrate, and interior defensive linemen that can wreak havoc. Those are the kind of guys that get really high valued. And then you have your transcendent three down linebacker types like Ruben. Honestly, to me, Ruben Foster was that. Obviously, the off the field and the injuries, but, you know, to me, Ruben Foster was kind of the quintessential, this is the linebacker I would take in the first round, or high in the first round at least, type of player. So keep all that in mind as we're talking about these guys. We're looking for those types of special skill sets if we're going to take one in the first round. That's kind of where we're at with this group. But we've got other guys to talk about. Cameron Smith over at USC, Kendall Joseph at Clemson, my dude Azeem Victor over at Washington, who I'm really excited to get to. Who else? So the Wisconsin is like 10 dudes, but I don't know how many of them are draft eligible. yeah, so Mike McCray over at Michigan. So we'll mention a lot of these guys and more guys I've mentioned earlier in the week on the podcast as well. We'll mention those guys as we keep rolling throughout the week. Tomorrow we wrap up the best of the rest of the off-ball linebackers. Still a lot of good players to talk about in this class. So we'll make sure we bring that to you. And then it's another fun-filled Fan Friday. Last week's Fan Friday got a great response from you guys. We talked about the Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott wars. Kind of figured that would generate some buzz with y'all. And, you know, we got good questions on it. So tomorrow I'll send out a tweet for questions, and you guys can let us know what you want to hear us talk about on Friday. But as always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are a mighty fortress of supreme knowledge. Progressive Direct has not only revealed their rates, but those of their competitors. If you were any more in the know, you would be drowning in, you know, the know.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates, because knowledge is power. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.